It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
Welcome to the weekend. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training in Idaho, Jim Stevens. Each week, I invite a keynote Sandler trainer from all around the world to discuss the strategies to improve attitude, behavior, and technique throughout businesses and cultures using the proven methodology from the renowned and wildly successful Sandler Training System. My guest this week is Susie Andrews. Susie is from St. Louis. Welcome, Susie.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm delighted to have you back on the show. Susie's been my guest a couple of times, and she's very well known in the Sandler networks as a change agent. And what we're going to talk about today is one of the important ingredients in change is really getting out of your comfort zone. So, Susie, kick us off by describing to our listeners, what is a comfort zone?
You know, to me, I guess the comfort zone is what experience in our lives have sort of created an area of comfort, but feeling like we've achieved or we're where we want to be. And I think ultimately we all know that where we want to be isn't where we are today, typically. You know, there's a great quote, and so many people have I guess, captured it as their quote, but on the other side of fear is success. And when we think about what a comfort zone is, sometimes the comfort zone is really a disguise for fear.
Nice. I hadn't heard that. So oftentimes the things that we fear, we resist and avoid. And I think sometimes, Susie, comfort zones are blinded. We're blind to them. So how do I wake myself up if I lack the self-awareness to realize I'm in a comfort zone?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I think that there's a lot of answers to that. I guess that one is always having good resources, coaches, people around you you trust to help realize where you might have gaps, whether you're a leader of a company, CEO, president, sales manager, or a salesperson. You always need to have a resource to be challenging you. But I always also believe that if you don't have your own personal motivating goals, you're not going to want to challenge the fears. It's going to be too easy to say, I'm okay where I am. Status quo is good. Reinforce those beliefs that everything's fine.
We get to a plateau in our life where we've achieved some level of success, and I might feel like I don't want to rock the boat. Having those goals help us see that maybe contentment here isn't all life has in store for me. So give your thoughts about how do I set stretch goals that will take me outside of my comfort zone when naturally, if it's uncomfortable, I don't want to do it.
Well, I'll give you an example, true life story. So 14 years ago when I joined Ken Stark in this business, 14 and a half years, I was so happy to be joining the team and really motivated by what we do. And quite frankly, it just really aligned with all the things that are important to me and motivate me personally. But I said to him, you know, this is great. I'm all in. I had my plan built, my Sandler cookbook built. And I said, but the one thing that I really am uncomfortable with, and I just have to say I'm going to need you to help me figure out how I don't have to do it, is getting in front of group. And Ken looked at me and said, well, how do you think you're going to train and become a speaker if you're not willing to get in front of group? And I said, well, I'm going to be relying on you for that. And his response was, well, how can you rely on me when your success is based on training and speaking? So long story short, it became pretty clear to me that my success and what was defined in my cookbook was directly correlated to me getting out of that comfort zone. So, you know, he helped me with he gave me a book called Mastery by George Leonard. It's an awesome book, quick read, and it just really sort of got into my head about it's a path that takes time. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to fail. But it taught me that I needed to just one step at a time break it down. And my first real push to that was I trained at a president's club. That was so nerve-wracking for me. I practiced for a week walking that training room till I put a hole in the floor. And as you know, every year since then, I have pushed myself to speak in front of large groups and Sandler group. You know, our 600 to 1,200 people at our conferences and at the Sandler summits became my goals. And that was probably the most uncomfortable I have ever been in my life.
Wow. You know, it's shocking to hear that because I've seen Susie speak in front of 1,200 people. And up in front of the group, she is just poised and put together and spot on. So you would never know that behind there was some level of discomfort.
That's right. Well, it's before and after that's the difference, Susie. But you know what? Practice makes a whole different outcome and result, and so does, you know, we all believe in. Our belief system drives everything. You know, all the strong coaching I've gotten from Sandler just right. has created a mental toughness right. that, you know, it's hard not to be successful if you stick to it.
Yeah, if I think back at that example of when you first started with Ken in the business, it strikes me that you didn't know that you were getting into something that would be uncomfortable until you were actually into it. And I think that's how most of us are. We start on a course and all of a sudden we realize, oh, you mean I'm going to have to do that? And you're at that crossroads where I know this is going to be difficult and awkward and I've got a choice to make. Do I power through or do I hit Wimp Junction and stop? Your thoughts?
Yep, no, totally. And I had no idea, but I knew that my passion in life is to help people and have an impact on people. And I started realizing I could do that in this business. At the same time, I could have a positive impact on business and business results, which was the other side of me professionally. So yeah, I was driven by sort of alignment to my personal vision and mission without having a clue that on the other side of that was a giant, uncomfortable space.
So Susie, do you think that it takes a certain disposition in someone to be able to face a comfort zone and act as if you are not intimidated by it?
Well, no question. If there is an absolute, unconditional commitment to your own development, self-worth, and goals, you won't. And we see it. I see it so often. And I mean, I don't know what the numbers are that I'm not, and I don't want to throw them out there, but we all measure our numbers of people that are actually really executing at the kind of level we're talking about. And it's a small percentage of the overall, because so many people either don't have the guts to get past the fear, they don't trust it, they won't challenge their beliefs, and they really don't have motivating enough goals. So in that regard, it just drives you back to, I'm okay being where I am. And if that's the reality, it has to be okay.
So I'm guessing we might have some business owners, leaders, or managers listening to us. What advice would you give them if they have somebody who they know is stuck in a comfort zone and they feel like it's their job to challenge them?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because when you started the question, I thought you were going somewhere else. So I want to maybe tie something to this that I think will answer that question. Any president and CEO or senior leader that's out there, I'm going to ask you, how much work are you doing on yourself to push yourself out of your own comfort zone? And are you setting that kind of an example for the people that you're leading and the people on your team?
Love that.
Because it starts at the top. And the best example they'll ever get is to see you face fear, know it, be vulnerable enough to share it, and then see the value in it for themselves. So I think, to me, that's the first step. And that vulnerability and honesty, that transparency, is, I truly believe, is one of the biggest strengths of a leader.
Right.
And I think if you do that and you do that well, and there is that trust, and they can see that path and they see you push through it and have success on the other side, then it's your job to make sure that they have the unconditional goals or the unconditional commitment to their own personal goals. And I think a lot of companies, they check that box by saying, how much money do you want to make this year? We all know the vast population of people out there are not motivated by money.
Right.
So are you really spending the time, investing the time to understand people's goals and to line yourself up to helping them be successful, to be even wanting to push through a comfort zone and be uncomfortable?
And I think if you're that leader who is transparent and willing to be vulnerable, you probably are concerned about that and spending time necessary. So many of us put up these facades where we think, oh, a great leader is somebody who's fearless and flawless, and I can't be self-deprecating.
And I'm going to say, yeah, I think that's an old way of looking at leadership. And, you know, we are human beings that we learn every day by observing other human beings. And if we really just look at ourselves and we think about the people we're most drawn to and the people we respect, it tends to be people that don't have an armor on. It's the people that they see they have to face things head on, and they take that as a challenge, and they take it as a you know, process for their own development.
My guest today is Susie Andrews. Susie, give your contact information in case somebody'd like to reach out to you.
Well, thanks, Jim. Company name is Stark & Associates, and the phone number is 314-222-6514. That's my direct line. My email is sandrews, at StarkAssociates.com.
I'm Idaho's Sandler trainer, Jim Stevens. If you'd like to hear more, visit our website at crossroads.sandler.com. We've got all of our past programs there for you. And if you want some specific information, reach out to me at 208-429-9275. Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement. Welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional business owners and leaders. In this segment, we take a peek behind the successes and challenges that regional leaders have had to overcome. This week, we're talking to Todd and Elaine Damshin. They are the owners of Mainstream Electric Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and they're located in Post Falls, Idaho. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
So you've been in business 17 years, started as an electrician, have built the company up to 30 employees, and just recently have expanded into heating and cooling and plumbing. Tell us a little bit about what decision making did you engage in to decide to expand?
Well, so we went to basically Tony Robbins' event called Business Mastery 1 and 2, and there's this great business leader named Jay Abraham. I don't know if you're familiar with him. But he has a philosophy of your business should be like a Parthenon with the columns, like the Roman columns holding up the lintel,
right?
The beam up there. And those all represent a different revenue stream. And so that your business is supported that way versus just a single platform like a springboard where you only have one revenue stream.
Right.
And so we really wanted to prop up our business in that way of adding another revenue stream, and HVAC and just seems so natural to be in electrical work, we actually decided to go that route.
Yeah, you're servicing the same clients.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Your existing client base, which must be thousands, are all prospects for your other revenue stream. So you said a little bit earlier, Elaine, that Todd's the visionary and you're the one that has to make it happen.
Yep.
So what transpired for you to help create this new division?
Well, we have this philosophy that we want to do action over planning. So, of course, we want a high-level plan about how the new divisions we're going to start, heating and cooling and plumbing. And so we just took action. So it's doing a little bit of marketing to our existing clients to get some calls. We did have to hire a license holder and a resident expert who really knows the industry and generate some calls. And it just snowballs from there.
How quick did you find you got traction?
Fairly quickly. What we've really learned is another principle we follow, which is really our network, I guess they say, has determined your net worth. And so we just started opening our mouths and sharing with everybody, hey, we're looking for a heating and cooling license holder. And it literally was our graphics guy was at our office. We said, hey, we're looking for someone. And someone, his son-in-law was on the phone. And in 2 minutes, boom, we had a license holder.
Awesome.
And he'd started in the new year of January 2016.
That's phenomenal. Give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Okay. Elaine Damshin, Mainstream Electric Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing at 866-411-9277.
We're going to be back with the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler's really expensive. Share your response to that.
The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years. It's an investment in yourself.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. Each week, I invite a keynote Sandler trainer from around the world to discuss the strategies required to improve behavior, attitude, technique, using the proven methodologies from the world-renowned and highly successful Sandler Training System. My guest today is Susie Andrews. Susie, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
So we've been talking about getting out of our comfort zone, and it first starts with awareness. I need to first be aware of what I fear, because the other side of fear is success. And then the second thing I need to do is to know technically what should I do to get out of my comfort zone. So there's a lot of trains of thought there, Susie. Feel the fear and do it anyway. What's your thoughts about getting to that point of taking action to get out of my comfort zone?
Well, the key is you've got to get very specific about the action. I think a lot of people say, I'll try that. Well, that sounds great. But the reality is, what are you trying?
Yeah.
When are you trying? And then how are you going to measure what you tried? so you know that you actually did what you wanted to do and you had the kind of results or outcome you were looking for. I don't see many people do that. They just, it's a I'll give it a try kind of a mentality, and when and if that happens, they'll then wonder whether they did something or not.
Right, and that half-hearted effort placates your conscience to say, well, you know, at least I gave it a shot.
Exactly. That world of living in the at leaster mentality, we know that well, right?
Right.
And at leasters are the absolute primary core of living in a comfort zone.
So when we talk about that term at leaster, in Sandler we train these three psychological states. There's the psychological state of the winner, the loser, and then that middle ground is the at leaster. Define that at leaster for us.
You know, the at leaster, a couple things. For the most part, they just really lack self-confidence and self-worth. And so therefore they create a perpetuating mindset of, well, at least I'm where I am. At least I'm not a failure. At least I've accomplished this. So they're always validating and reinforcing that it's okay to be just okay.
Right. And to get out of that comfort zone. And if you think about it, what keeps us in a comfort zone is, number one, I don't want to fail, so I won't do anything that's going to risk failure. And number two, I'm not sure I can handle like success, so I don't want to take a risk that'll put me in over my head. Share your thoughts on that.
What a great statement, because I'm not sure I want to get over my head as often. I don't want to work that hard, and I don't want to change the way I'm doing it. Huge.
Yeah, it really is huge. And that fear of failure, I think that's a little more common to people. We all sense, you could take something as simple as, well, let's use the example of Susie has spent, what, 13 years as an associate, and then she bought Ken Stark's franchise. So you had to face a lot of fears there and get out of your comfort zone. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so when I joined the business originally, my goal was to someday own it. And, you know, it was an interesting path and wasn't ever completely aligned with timelines of when Ken thought he wanted to get out of the business and when I thought it was appropriate for me to buy it. And quite frankly, I had sort of mentally given up on buying it, and it had kind of rewritten my goals to a certain extent. But I think when the rubber hit the road and Ken approached me and said, I'm ready to sell this business, I will tell you, the butterflies in my stomach and that fear that came in that said, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Things are good. That's going to be hard. So I had to, in that moment, decide, was that okay, those things that I was telling myself, or how important were the things on the other side of it? So that weighing of that was really important for me, because it was a big shift in my life for a lot of different parts of my life. And obviously I weighed in heavily on it was worth the risk, and it was that much of a motivator for me. So I pushed past it, and I'm happy I did, but I can't say that there weren't times in the first 12 months that I said, oh my God, holy blank.
What have I done?
Yeah,
so I think best practices in decision making is to first analyze, where am I? What do I want, which is on the other side of my comfort zone? What's the worst thing that can happen? And then, is the worst results worth the risk for the reward that I see that could be? Walk our listeners through the mechanics of making a wise decision like that.
You know, that's interesting, Jim, because part of that walk is just belief. Because when I look at my example of having to buy a business and, you know, taking out loans and putting some things at risk in order to make it happen, the key for the success has been believing in myself and believing in the things I know were a part of the formula for success. And what I know that to be is everything that I've learned at Sandler, and that have a plan, know your plan, work your plan, be consistent with your plan, never give up on your plan. You know, the idea that what are your competencies today that you've got, attitude, skills, techniques, what is it that you have to work on? I did a lot of work on that part of it to understand from where I was as associate to what that BAT would look like as a leader manager, and it was a scary thought for me because it was a huge shift, but something that I was clear enough about that I knew that I could commit to doing it. So when I broke it down to year one, here's what I need to do. Year two, here's what I need to do. And here's what the transition looks like for me from my role in the past to my role in the future. I broke it down so it was realistic enough that I didn't feel like I was putting a dump truck over myself. So the fear got brought down by some of the reality of execution.
Yeah, when you go through the planning stage, you really are vicariously imagining yourself in that transition, which helps you preempt some of those fears that you're going to have because you've already mentally lived through the event just in the planning stage. One of the things that Susie mentioned that I think is so powerful is, what is my outlook and belief during the process? I heard somebody say in a training I did last week, Susie, they said, create a reverse bucket list. I said, well, what's that? And they said, create a list of all of your great accomplishments, because looking at that list of your accomplishments helps give you the courage to take that leap of faith into something that's uncomfortable. Give us your thoughts on that.
You know, that's interesting, because I think we lose sight of how our past successes and even current shape who we are. And that's been a weakness of mine my whole life. I set really high goals. I chase after them, knock them down, and I don't take time to celebrate or recognize or pat myself on the back. And I think that that what it does to build that strength and that mental toughness and solid, you know, mindset is huge. And I do think it's something that's often overlooked.
Susie did a talk several years ago. In that talk, you covered the fear. You had done some semi-professional diving as a teen. Tell that
story. Well, I wouldn't say it was semi-professional, but...
competitive diving, at least.
It was competitive diving. I had a private coach. And I was at a lesson where my mother, and with six kids, she rarely ever came to watch us individually based on time and splitting herself up. But she came to one of my lessons. I didn't know she was there. And I was up on the board doing a gainer, a reverse gainer, and hit my head on the edge of the board. And as I'm coming up out of the water, I'm just assuming that I'm going to see blood at the top. There wasn't, but my head was obviously uncomfortable and hurting. And my coach said to me, hey, you know, get out. Are you all right? I said, yeah. And he said, well, get back up and do it again. And that's an example of, okay, so I trusted him. That was the first thing. I trusted him. I knew he wouldn't steer me wrong. I got up there. I did it again. I followed the same steps, the same routine, and I hit my head again. And as I got to the edge of the pool, I realized again there wasn't any blood, and I thought to myself, well, I have a hard head. But at the same time, I looked up, and there was my mother standing there at the edge of the pool wondering if I was going to come up out of the water, and she said, do you really want to do this? And I said, no. So there's that reality of, okay, it was painful enough, and it really wasn't something, when I look back, that I was ever sorry I gave up.
Yeah.
And I gave it up in that moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the case, but sometimes the pain is worth it, and you know it's worth it, that you need to push to the other side.
And I think a big part of that, Susie, is recognizing that it's okay to say no, because we grow through failures. And you could look at that as a failure. You could look at it as a redirection, but it was part of your plan. And what kind of impact on a life lesson has that taught you?
Oh, my gosh. So many. One, always respect your mother, because she always asked me, why are you like diving? But the second was, you know, that you sometimes, everything isn't right and everything isn't the best for you. And sometimes that was just a quick lesson. This
right.
isn't right for me. And quite frankly, I shifted gears really quickly into swimming and tennis, and I was much happier and much more successful.
Awesome.
So,
Susie, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out and talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate you asking, Jim. It's 314-222-6514. And my email is sandrews@starkassociates.com.
I'm Idaho's Sandler trainer, Jim Stevens. If you'd like to hear more, visit our website at crossroads.sandler.com. And welcome back to Behind the Business. I'm Jim Stevens. This is where we get to meet people and hear the story behind some local and regional businesses. I've got a couple of entrepreneurs here in the studio with me, Todd and Elaine Damshin. They have been in business together for 17 years.
That's correct.
And are still married.
Yep.
How hard is that, huh?
It's not hard.
No.
We actually work relatively well together. So.
Yeah, we've learned that it takes a visionary and an integrator the day-to-day to make it happen, because I couldn't even attempt to do what he does in his world and vice versa. So we work great together, and we always have.
Yeah, so I'll typically have a vision or an idea. I'll usually, if it's what our company wants to do, we'll go for it. I'll usually get it going, get it to where it's running, and then she'll take it over and, just do the real fine improvements and then get the whole staff on board, so.
It's a great dynamic. My wife refers to us, we're an entrepreneurial couple too. She says, I'm the kite and she's the string. Without a string, the kite is unmanageable.
Right.
And without a kite, the string just lays there. So it's a great to see couples that work together in business. What advice would you give to entrepreneurial, maybe a couple, maybe just a single entrepreneur who's thinking about starting their own business?
I would say, you do some high-level planning, but just take action and commit. Just start doing it. And you can course correct along the way. It's, I think a lot of people just have analysis paralysis. And if it's not exactly perfect, they don't start.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the impediment is that I have to pay my bills. So how do I go from being an employee to being self-employed?
Well, for me, that one's relatively easy. That was the beauty of having a skill, is you can offer that without a lot of barriers to entry, not a lot of cash. You don't need any, right? You can go out there and use your skill in the evenings and weekends, as long, if your employer allows it, obviously, and start making some extra income. You just got to work hard and be willing to spend long days and work in your full-time job and do your other skill in the evening and on weekends if you can. And I don't know if that's possible for everybody, but it was for me.
Right. So Elaine, as the general manager, what are some of the strategies and tactics you use to manage your team?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a data-driven decision maker. And so we have a huddle in the morning, 8:30, and then again in the afternoon at 2:30, and the head of each department meets and they share like incoming calls or where we are with sold hours and whatnot. And I've really learned to read our numbers like a language. So I get a pretty quick gut feeling on what's going well and what's not going well. And now the challenge, of course, is as we start to look for a general manager at the end of this year, beginning of next, is to find someone who has that same gut instinct and drive. I did want to add to Todd's real quick that people starting a business, you run a marathon and you want to quit and you have to you keep going. And every day you just keep going and keep going. And that's how that snowball starts.
If you are looking for a reason to quit, you will find it.
For sure. Yeah.
Give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
So we are Mainstream Electric Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. And you can reach us at 866-411-ZAP. That's 866-411-9277.
Up next, we have Entrepreneur Radio, where we get to hear firsthand some of the stories about local and regional entrepreneurs, what have led to their success, what challenges they've had to overcome. If your business is interested in being showcased here, please reach out to me at 208-429-9275. We'll invite you into our studio located right here in our office, and we'll help you get your story out there. We're going to be back with Entrepreneur Radio just after this. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Change is difficult and messy. As a result, most people push themselves to work harder because they don't realize there's an alternative. Sheer willpower and determination can only go so far in making a significant impact. Charisma or optimism alone is not enough to capture your ideal client at a price point that allows you to grow your business. Loyalty to employees and clients sustains a devoted following, but will not attract the talent or clients needed to help more people benefit from your services. Accurate systems and processes are vital. However, this alone is not going to achieve your desired results. Most business owners don't have the courage necessary to challenge their comfort zone. If you are the exception and are ready to roll up your sleeves, get messy and change, call me at Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or connect on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. And welcome to one of my favorite segments, Entrepreneur Radio, where we get to learn more about the real heroes in our economy and society, independent business owners and leaders. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training, and I've invited Don Ryman to join us on Entrepreneur Radio and share some of his strategies that have led him to success. I think one of the best ways to learn is by hearing the stories of others, their life lessons, and engaging from them, getting to hear the struggles as well as the successes. So Don, tell us about your business. How did you get started?
Well, I got started in the financial services industry because I actually didn't feel I was marketable. I didn't have a college education at the time and felt I was suited to sales by my personality. So I started looking around different kind of sales opportunities and truly got into life insurance sales, not as a career, but because I figured that I would find an opportunity that would fit for me. Somebody would offer me a great job, and I joke, not entirely joking, that I'm still waiting for that great offer. So right. In that process, then, I just started looking for where there were needs and how I could fulfill those for other people.
Well, my dad was in the life insurance business, and he was always very proud about how he served people because he's the only one, he would say, I'm the only one who shows up at the funeral with a check. And there's really a great security that comes with that. I think it's a real service that most people may be unaware of.
I actually evolved out of life insurance because it was one of those things, it wasn't something that was fulfilling to me, and I recognized a bigger need, so I kind of evolved over into offering financial services, financial planning, investment management, and then I got introduced to businesses and the needs they had. And so we evolved into consulting for businesses on their group insurance plans and retirement plans. And then it kind of evolved from there where anywhere the employer interacts with their employees and they have needs that need to be met. So I would say, I don't know that it matters so much where you enter a career, but what paths you choose along the way and that you evolve with it.
Yeah. And Don has a very unique, I think, business model. You've got a real niche that he's carved out. He has a way of helping employers who employ, what, over 50?
Correct.
Anybody who employs over 50 people to really not only provide a great benefit package, but also to save money doing it. So give some of the strategies or suggestions you would have for a listener who might be in that category.
Well, I think the most underlying thing, it goes back to stop being hostage to the traditional way of doing things, that this is how this industry works, this is the way it is. Between some of the healthcare facilities and insurance companies, I think one of the most frustrating things out there for a business owner is feeling out of control because there's people that are negotiating things on their behalf that they have no say in. They just could pay the bill. And so there's some risk there because some of the things we're doing, there's multiple different strategies, but it's not the traditional way of doing it.
And I think in some cases, there is a prejudice or bias in some service providers because they're providing something that benefits them as much, if not more so, than the clients they serve. Talk about that.
Well, I think that's a trap that all of us are susceptible to. I've done it at different times in my life. When you start going down a path and you've got a model, you've got your ethics, your integrity, and you start down a certain path saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve people by helping them in this way. And then the business model kicks in. Well, if I make a little more, I can do this. And then the sales side from the vendors and the different people that want you to use
their product,
they start putting incentives out there for you. And it's kind of a slippery slope to something's okay and then it gets more and more to where pretty soon your decisions are being influenced more on what benefits you as opposed to what benefits your customers.
And your business model really takes that into account and avoids that.
We try. I would say we're not perfect at it, but from a company culture standpoint, we really try and keep in perspective that as long as we take care of our customers, our clients, that we will, you know, do well, flourish, because there's a huge need out there. I think probably one of the biggest need in the marketplace right now in almost any business anymore is transparency.
One thing also about Don is he's a certified neuro-linguistic or...
Oh, I have my certification, certified practitioner, and then my master's certification in neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah, so describe to the listeners, what does that mean, neuro-linguistic programming?
That's a challenging one. It's really about how everything about us, physically, mentally, spiritually, things are connected, and the power of the mind is what it really comes down to as far as the words we use when we're talking to others, the words we use when we're talking to ourselves.
And Don has written a book. The book's title is Reset, Harnessing Change, Fear, and Risk for an Extraordinary Life. And that is so true. I mean, change, fear, risk, those are things that we shun, right? We try to avoid those things, but yet it's the focus on those things that can really be a catalyst for an extraordinary life. So give our listeners an overview, quick overview of your book.
Well, there's four quick principles in the book. One is, the most important one is having your own definition of success. And I propose that for most people, you've been programmed in certain ways to have certain goals based on what other people want from you. So it goes back to, you know, from your parents to your teachers to your bosses, but identifying what is important to you and coming up with a definition of success that works for you. I had an interesting experience recently that I realized talking to a group of coaches and teams, but it applies back to business, that when we have our own definition of success, and quite frankly ties into a session we did with Sandler, your training, Jim, what the difference between identity and a role is, and the part of having your own definition of success is really a part of determining what your identity is as a person, and then looking at how that definition applies to all areas of life, from family to work to your employees and on. And what I most recently, the enlightenment came in, is I have a really good idea what my goals are and what I have for my company, but I don't have as much clarity about what my employees' goals are. Mm. And the thought behind it is, to have a cohesive and productive business, I need to know both of those, because I need to find people that their definition of success can mesh with the definition of success for myself and my business, so that we're helping each other obtain what we want together.
People are far more inspired to achieve something where they are directly seeing the why and the how in relationship to their goals. So talk a little bit about fear and risk as really motivators, because when you're saying it's a catalyst, isn't that part of what you're saying?
Well, it kind of goes back to personal philosophy, and I think most businesses deal with this on a regular basis, but we don't realize from an individual standpoint that I look at things that are perceived as a negative and analyze how to turn them into a positive. So risk, first off, somebody that's in business for themselves has a different tolerance for risk than other individuals.
Yep.
Because there, other individuals aren't willing to put in 60 to 80 hours when they're starting a business. They're not willing to put everything they own on the line to get the loan that they need to start the business. A lot of risk with that. I boil it down to, even to the simple starting. If you stop and think about a college athlete, the amount of risk that is involved in their life, that they're willing to move across the country to put the next 4 to 5 years of their life in the hands of somebody that they met twice in their living room. There's a lot of risk in that. So the risk of making personal improvement, you risk having to change a group of friends or relationships with family members if they are part of the problem that keeps pulling you back into a negative place.
Any suggestions on how do I overcome the fear that might be keeping me from taking that risk that I know would help me achieve my goal, but I just can't bring myself to take that step?
Well, I think the first thing is to clearly identify that you do have a fear and categorize the risk. What really is it that you're concerned about? And then I'm a very big proponent of stating things in the positive of what you want versus what you don't want. So then you've got to look at, well, what is it I want? And then you'll start finding direct correlations to those things that you're fearing. If you start building towards what you want, they will be replaced by better things.
And I think far too often we make up a fantasy in our mind that's far worse than reality could ever be. And sometimes playing worst case scenario could help get you clarity that, you know what, maybe the failure that I might experience isn't going to be that bad, and it'd be worth taking the risk. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to tie it back to one of the things we learned in Sandler, was that we are programmed from the time we were very young going forward. And one of the things I address is, if you go back to being a child, most children have no fear. And I mean, there's, you know, physical fear and things that of what they don't see. So that's a basic instinct. But the number one thing that they have that I feel like we lose is curiosity. And so I think curiosity is one of those catalysts that, because if you're curious, gee, I wonder what will happen if I do this, and there's a certain point in life where you start saying, well, it could cost me something I have, as opposed to saying, hey, I'm curious about this and what will happen. And so I think if we can start getting curious again as adults about, gee, I'm going to try this, and I take it into another principle that I use actually in the book, is what I call calculated risk taking. So I think every business owner has a lot of ideas that they do where they are going to try something, they don't know what it's the outcome is going to be. So, but you look at what's the worst thing that could happen, what are the odds of that happening, and then what are the steps that I can do to mitigate that, to keep that from happening. And an interesting thing for me is I also have to look and say, what's the best thing that can happen, and then ask the real question of why am I taking this risk, and what if I don't do it, and what if I do, how do the benefits outweigh? So it's kind of a small formula for going through to take calculated risk.
Great idea. Don's book is Reset, Harnessing Change and Fear and Risk for an Extraordinary Life. Don, your contact information in case somebody would like to reach you?
You can reach me at 208-345-9944 or at info@echelongroup.com. That's Echelon group.com. info@echelon group.com.
Don Ryman with the Echelon Group. Glad to have you with us today on the program, Don. On Entrepreneur Radio, we share the stories of local and regional leaders, people who have harnessed drive to achieve change and how they have achieved their success. If you'd like to be on this program, reach out to me at 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. If you don't feel qualified to share your story and want help getting there, then contact us and we'll help you find a way. Welcome back to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional leaders. In this segment, we take a peek behind the successes and challenges that have faced businesses as they begin to grow. And today we have an entrepreneurial couple, Todd and Elaine Damshin, who are located out of Post Falls, Idaho, right?
Correct.
Welcome back to the program, guys. We were talking about the reason I know Elaine and the reason they're here is she was the sixth grade teacher for Janet Keller, who's one of our team members. And it's interesting, we look at teachers as great resources for salespeople, because if you can manage a classroom, no doubt you can manage a client. So how has teaching helped you in your background prepare for what you're doing now?
Oh my gosh, so many things. First and foremost, to listen to understand, not listen to respond.
Ah,
lifetime
nice.
Skill. Also, just to be able to read body language, and when clients or employees are feeling stressed or uncomfortable with a message we're trying to convey, and then as well as with clients.
And so from when you were teaching, did you ever dream you'd be the general manager for a company that has 30 plus employees?
No. My dad was a framer, owned his own business, and I said, I will never marry a contractor. And then when we got married, Todd had change of plans. So.
So what were you going to do?
Well, I wasn't sure. You know, when we got married, I was 21.
Yep.
And I was still looking for that career.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
were you an apprentice electrician
I
at
was.
That point?
Yeah, I wasn't an apprentice electrician until 1995.
Huh.
Yeah, we had just had our first, we had twin babies that year. And I came home and said, I was in the Air National Guard, was an avionics technician, making pretty good money out there, but still looking for that career. It wasn't something I wanted to do. And the guard, and it was a temporary position, and a local guardsman had said, hey, you should become an electrician. And since it already had electronics training through the Air Force, it was a natural fit. We did all the wiring stuff on the jets and worked on component level maintenance.
Wow.
I was like, man, that sounds like a really good idea, because I realized after you went through the 4 years of college, of the trade school, 8,000 hours of on-the-job experience, then 2 years after that, you could become a contractor in the state of Idaho. So that was my plan right from then. I was like, that's exactly what I'm doing.
So I was teaching half-time, had these six-month-old baby boys, and Todd said, I'm going to become an apprentice electrician for $6 an hour.
Wow, and quitting my real job.
Yes.
Yes.
what did you think of that?
I was scared, obviously, but he just said, you need to trust me on this. This is for our future, and our return on investment is going to be in the future. So we did it.
And how long did it take before you proved yourself right?
Well, just a few years, yeah. Well, you know, you get pretty good raises as an apprentice, as you know, year after year.
Yeah,
so it was only
a
few years, and we're making good, okay money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So we just stuck with it. Sometimes that entry-level apprenticeship job is hard for people to take.
Right.
It's pretty, doesn't pay a lot.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot of work.
If you stick with it, it pays dividends.
So what we do at Sandler Training, we do executive coaching and we do training for the staff and management and owners of a company. And I know you guys invest heavily in coaches. So give your thoughts to our listeners about the value of having someone speaking into your life from a training and coaching perspective.
You know, I look at mentorship like a quilt. I like to surround myself or cover myself with a quilt. There's different patchworks and each patch represents someone who can help me enhance my life. And we have different mentors for all different areas of our life because, you know, a business success is to talk to people who've been there and done that and or who have what we want. And that's the advice from whom we take.
Todd, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. We model ourselves after successful companies and business owners and anything that they're in that they're successful at, just modeling ourselves after those type of people.
My guest today is Todd and Elaine Damshin. They're the owners of Mainstream Electric Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Well, you can reach us. I'm Todd Damshin and with Mainstream Electric Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing at 866-411-ZAP. That's 866-411-ZAPP.
And is that also your phone number?
Yeah, that is our
That's
phone number.
That's clever.
Our website is our phone number.
And your website. That's very, very smart. I love it. Hey, it's been a pleasure having you guys on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And listeners, thank you for being a part of the program. We're going next to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Change is difficult and messy. As a result, most people push themselves to work harder because they don't realize there's an alternative. Sheer willpower and determination can only go so far in making a significant impact. Charisma or optimism alone is not enough to capture your ideal client at a price point that allows you to grow your business. Loyalty to employees and clients sustains a devoted following, but will not attract the talent or clients needed to help more people benefit from your services. Accurate systems and processes are vital. However, this alone is not going to achieve your desired results. Most business owners don't have the courage necessary to challenge their comfort zone. If you are the exception and are ready to roll up your sleeves, get messy and change, call me at Sandler Training 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275 or connect on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. Each week I invite a keynote Sandler trainer from around the world to discuss strategies to improve behavior, attitude, techniques, using the proven methodologies from the Sandler system. This week my guest is Susie Andrews. Susie is from St. Louis, Missouri, and we've been talking about getting out of your comfort zone. And in Sandler, we like to practice what we preach, and Susie's in the middle of a journey outside of her own comfort zone, which is learning to expand and delegate. Tell us your story, Susie.
I purchased this business 3 years ago, and one of the reasons I did purchase it was I've always believed in being a product of the product. And part of being a product of the product is actually now living what I've taught my clients for the last 13, 14 years. And so that meant getting out of just being a consultant trainer to becoming a CEO, president, business owner, setting, you know, really challenging goals, building a team, and growing a business. And I know that's my goal. I've got a strategy to do it. The most difficult part was the last 2 years we've grown 35% both years, which is awesome growth, but to take the business to the next level, I needed to add people, I needed to change what I was doing, and I needed to add other segments to the business, all of which absolutely petrify me.
So part of your motive in doing this was wanting to be a product of the product, and you don't wear hypocrisy very well, so you wanted to practice what you preach. What else drove you to taking the plunge and saying, okay, I'm going to delegate?
You know, it's interesting. I do have clear goals, and I want to have got certain growth goals for the business by 5 years, so that's 2 more years, and then an additional 5. So I plan on having had a good solid succession plan in 7 years from now. And I'm serious about it. My husband and I are serious about it. So it's what's my personal life look like beyond where I am today. I always work, but I don't need to work 50 hours a week. And I want a different structure in the business to be able to do that.
So really seeing that picture for the future that you want has put you in that role of strategist to plan how do I get there.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and it's motivating for me. I see, you know, places where I want to spend time. We're lucky to have a couple of vacation homes that I have, you know, on my vision dream board, and that's in my office that I look at all the time, and how many weeks I'm going to spend there over each year that I, you know, I'm able to continue to grow this business.
Those dream boards cry out to you, take advantage of what you've created.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Part of growing your business has been hiring new people, which means you have to let go of some of the things you've done in the past, and it also means you have to trust others. Help us through that journey.
So, interesting that you started with hiring, because obviously that's the first thing I had to do, was bring people on. And I will tell you, that's the hardest thing my clients do. In this process, I have hired 5 and 3 have stayed. And what I found was I made some mistakes, and I knew very clearly where I made them. And the reason I knew where I made them was because I followed our process like the book.
Good.
And we know that when we follow the process, it exposes gaps. So I didn't beat myself up for not having been successful, because I knew where the gaps were and I knew how to plug them. So I wasn't going to repeat. That just felt right to me. It felt comforting. It's what we teach our clients, that there isn't a perfect science to this, but you will get better at it if you follow a process that allows you to see where you can get better. And that was a huge eye-opener for me.
Yeah, it really is, because now I know I have mapped what I did the first time, so I can actually make adjustments to make changes that will hopefully improve it in the second event.
Exactly.
You were sharing with me off air, one of your new associates has taken a liking to pushing himself out of his comfort zone. Tell us that story.
Well, I'm not sure he's taking a liking to it, but I think he's got a real recognition that it's an absolute requirement to be successful in this role and in this business, and that he's also realized what we sell is probably one of the most difficult things to sell.
Right.
Which means you've got to do things very differently. So he gets up every day with a pretty solid mantra of what he has to, where he has to see solidly in his head in order to work through the fear. And he relates it back to, he's a golfer. He's a pretty much knows golf, a plus one golfer. So he's really a great at the sport. But what he related it to was when he had dips and challenges in developing in that sport, it was when he thought he had it figured out, or he was just uncomfortable doing something differently, and he'd get stuck and he'd get in a rut. And so that was a big aha for him when, after about 4 months in the business, he realized, I might have to do things differently than what I thought it was. And by the way, I'm not sure I like this, but I guess I see, and he trusts the process and he trusts our team. I see where I need to go, and I'm hell-bent on keeping myself uncomfortable. So he's pretty much living there every day and sharing that with his clients and with everybody in our office.
Yeah, that's got to be inspiring for the rest of the team, either that or intimidating.
I think it's inspiring because there's a level of, you know, it's a humble mindset, not a cocky mindset, if you will, and that's inspiring, I think, to everybody.
So I'm curious, Susie, how much does comfort zone have to do with age? What's the age of this associate?
The associate is 23.
Oh, so 23. I'm thinking about 23. I was probably not smart enough to know what I should fear.
That was me. That was me for sure, and I didn't know what I didn't know, and had a job making $12,000 a year cold calling on the streets of Fort Lauderdale and felt damn lucky.
Yeah. And so do you think any theories about whether the comfort zone gets harder to stretch out of when you're younger, older, middle-aged?
You know, I think that's an interesting question. I think there is some at a younger age that they just don't necessarily see where they could go.
Yeah.
So they're not sure why they would. So it goes back to, if the goals are motivating enough, there's reason to push. Right. But because I've coached, and you do too, a lot of young millennials and young people over the last 14 years. And sometimes in those first 2 or 3 years, there just isn't enough. They can't clearly see enough beyond a year or two. It's too narrow a scope.
Susie, one of the things we train is solving any problem is a matter of two sides of the equation. One, I have to figure out what is the conceptual constraint. And number two, what are the technical constraints? So what do I need to have by way of a belief system to get out of my comfort zone? And what actions do I take? What's the how-to? Unpack that for our listeners.
You know, it's really interesting, because I think sometimes it depends on the person as to whether they start with attitude, or which is the conceptual side, or they start with technique. And, you know, some people just are sort of blind to the belief side, and you just need to give them a skill set. They try it, they get a different outcome, and it challenges the belief.
Oh, that's great.
And I think that sometimes when we coach, you know, we can see that in people, and we can help people recognize that. I think sometimes people can recognize it in themselves. I'm just going to go try it and be willing to try it and trust this coach, or trust the skill enough to see what happens. Other people, they just want, they need the belief system changed. There's a different mindset and fears established there that they just have to build that mental strength. You know, we tend to, in our coaching, our belief is you should have a daily mantra. If you're really pushing yourself through your comfort zone and even working toward goals that are challenging, you need a mantra that you say to yourself, write or journal every day. I mean, I have mine. I drive to work with the radio off, and that's all I do is repeat that mantra in my head for about 10 or 12 minutes. But then you couple it with what are the techniques that you have to put in play to enforce and move the process forward. So we work on both sides of it with ourselves and with our clients.
So give us an example of what a mantra might sound like.
Well, that's a good question. So mine right now is, I have a positive impact on people's lives and business results, which is my primary mission. I'm an X dollar a year business owner. I know my plan. I work my plan. Julia and JB are on track to hit 2017 goals, and we're a team of A-player referral animals having fun, making 2017 the best year ever.
Referral animals. I love that.
And it's working. Act as if we are killing it on referrals.
That's awesome. Great to know. Well, Susie Andrews has been my guest today. Susie, you've been a terrific guest. Share with our listeners your contact information.
Well, thanks, Jim. 314-222-6514 is my direct line, and my email is sandrews@starkassociates.com. It's been a pleasure, Jim.
Thank you, Susie. I'm Idaho's CEO of Sandler Training, Jim Stevens. Thank you, listeners, for inviting us into your world. Our calling is to wake people up from mediocrity and challenge things like getting out of their status quo, stop ignoring eroding market share and change, tolerating chaos and volatility, and then in some cases learning the hard way by doing the same thing over and over, hoping eventually you're figured out. If you're ready to give up the insanity of doing this and get different results, give us a call at 208-429-9275. Let us know that you need help, and we'll do the rest. Have a great weekend, and remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it.